Exactly. We can actually like sit back just and like, just have the thing come to us instead like, of sitting here at the ready. Like, I'll tell you all about it. Yeah, exactly. Let me get in here.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Like,
let me tell you about Creative Games, brother.
It's all right at the edge of our seats.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right for now.
Where do you want to go with that conversation then?
I don't know. I guess.
Okay, all right.
Let's see where it takes us.
Okay. You're <That's> funny.
As the spirit moves us.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. I've
been recording forever.
Oh, boy.
Just jump right into it.
Good thing I didn't say those jokes. Like, all right. Welcome back to another episode here of the Weekend Rental Podcast. Of course, I'm host Greg here, joined as always with Jeremy.
Hello.
What we're going to talk about today, obviously, it's no surprise. We all know this is going to happen. The all-digital future is coming.
Mm.
Video game collecting as a physical media, for the most part, I mean, it might stop being a thing. Physical media will stop being produced. Will the actual hobby of video game collecting even exist if that happens? Will we see the older media, people, like, I guess when you look at, if we enter into an all digital age of gaming as it comes forward, are the people who grow up with that stuff, say people who right now might be 5 years, so, you know, another 5 years will probably be all digital. If it's not the next generation, it will be the next generation. So I'd say 5 to 10 years at absolute most, we're all digital. Will those people who grow up in that kind of world care about owning physical media? And if they don't, is video game collecting as we know it right now just going to die a slow death, essentially? Like, no one will want physical media anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of information in that question.
Wait, dump it all on you there.
That's right. All at once. Everything everywhere all at once. Honestly, like, I think I have a kind of a dual mindset about this. Part of me remembers when people said books would never be a thing or comic books would never be a thing. They're still a thing. I don't see them stopping anytime soon. But I think you're right that probably a lot of media will transition to digital.
So you think we're not even going to get an all-digital console generation?
In certain, like, perhaps more likely on the Microsoft end of things, yeah. Maybe okay. PlayStation as well. I feel Nintendo still kind of defines themselves as a toy company. And for them, the physical aspect of it is still kind of important.
Okay.
You know, I think if they were leaning more towards a digital future, they would have probably given people more storage on the Switch. It's also, you know, I shouldn't say that too, because it's also like 6 years old now. So, you know, when the new console is announced and we know all the storage capacities, we'll probably kind of get more of a glimpse as to how they're leaning.
Okay.
But I feel like for the most part, Nintendo is still defined as a toy company. That's kind of how they set themselves apart.
Okay.
You know, in the 80s when they came up with the NES and all the stuff before, like the Game & Watch and all those things, they were shying away from the concept of a video game, because that market was kind of dying, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was like interactive media or what did they... The deluxe set has very specific words on it that does not say like home video game console or something. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Were specific with their marketing.
Yeah, and I think that was a strategical decision because of the way the video game market had gone in previous years.
So, why follow Atari's footprints?
Exactly.
Like, we're not a video game console.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're a home entertainment console.
Yeah,
we are exactly. A toy company. So, you know, part of me thinks that maybe Nintendo will be kind of the last holdout of the bunch.
Yeah, the PS5, I mean, obviously we had the one that doesn't even have a disc drive this generation.
Yeah.
I think the latest thing I saw is you can now get a separate disc drive to attach to that console.
Mm.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I've heard something about that. I actually don't know much about it, but I think, okay. You can.
I'm pretty sure, they now sell in, like, you know, when you used to buy an optic drive for your PC, like, basically, you get it separate now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, maybe that'll be what it is. The base console, like there will be no such thing as a base console with disc drive. PS6, I guess, and Xbox, whatever they want to call it.
Right.
You just will not have even a disc drive option.
Yeah.
It'll be purely for people who want it, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that, then, I mean, this is a big thing that was talked about on YouTube over the past few months. It was the, like, you enter into a Best Buy store, you go into an electronic store, even just the amount of games they stock is far lower than it used to be mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Yes.
Physical media is disappearing, mm-hmm. essentially. I think it was Blockbuster. if only they were still around. Best Buy, I believe, was yes. that they had the article come out not too long ago saying that they're actually going to phase out, I believe it was all DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to sell them.
Right.
I know that's not video games, but it really, that lean of the all digital, you will not get a physical. It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the last time I bought a Blu-ray. Movie. You know, maybe it was some like obscure anime movie or something that was like hard to get and or even hard to download somewhere or stream.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bought it, but, you know, I don't regularly buy movies because there's just so much available.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think streaming and whatever made it so easy, so convenient to watch yeah. literally anything.
Yeah. And streaming a movie is so much more easy than a game.
In what way? What do you mean?
Like, it's instant. A game, you have to wait for it to download.
Do you think, but like, surely in a, you know, more optimized world, gaming should get there. Like, the Xbox Game Pass should get to a almost instantaneous.
Right. You mean like cloud-based gaming?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I think that is a plausible future, but at the same time, you would need real, like, worldwide connectivity at a consistent rate to really make it viable. Because even with super fast internet, you still feel the lag.
That's interesting, actually. Yeah, I guess. If you go with the, that's interesting about how much steady internet you would have to maintain at all times.
Yes.
If streaming something in 60 to 120 FPS.
Yeah, exactly.
To not notice actual.
Yeah. Drops. You need like, you know, superior fiber optic internet speeds.
Yeah.
Like, which
I pay for expensive internet as is. And like, I don't know if I could do it.
No, exactly. And, you know, I remember friends of mine. Years ago when the Stadia was being touted, they're like, this is the future of gaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this is what gaming is going to be. And I'm like, you know what? I told them, I was like, I don't think Stadia is going to make it. Simply because of the fact that the amount of consistent internet speed you need to overcome that inherent latency is astronomical.
Yeah.
And... you know, obviously I was proven right, the Stadia.
Yeah.
The Stadia is no longer really a thing. But, you know, I think at the same time, I do think it's a plausible future if we can get to that aspect of everyone having the same quality of internet everywhere.
Yes.
Then I could see that happening.
And we get like almost a Netflix of
yeah.
gaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you just like pick your game, sit down and play.
Yeah.
And you have a library
yeah.
in front of you of everything.
Yeah. And that's why partly I see, you know, physical media of movies disappearing is because it's so easy to stream a movie. It's instantaneous. Doesn't require really a great internet speed at all. You can stream pretty well at a low internet speed.
I mean, worst case scenario, you let it buffer for a bit and you come
yeah.
back, you know,
yeah.
like the old days, you just like start the movie, wait 30 minutes and then come watch it once it's like buffered ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think like I see the trend of physical media and movies disappearing much more quickly simply because of that is because it's so much more accessible.
Yeah, that does
cloud-based
make sense.
Gaming is not where it needs to be yet for that to be the dominant form of game consumption, in my view.
Yeah.
I think we still have a long way to go.
Even away from that, right? Like that does make sense as to why we're going to see DVD, Blu-ray phased out first. Like, mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Even with physical games now, like physical modern games, I don't buy as many or even really care, I guess, if I do get a physical, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously the collector in me still enjoys that, you know, I want to get a Mario Wonder with the case, with the cartridge. It's great. I'm a collector at heart, but it's also like if they didn't do that. Like I'm still buying the game.
Right.
I'm still going to play and buy the game. It doesn't actually inherently change my buying decision.
Yeah.
I guess is where I'm at now in life.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just me getting older or just having too much stuff as is, but like...
Well, you know, it's convenience as well. It's just
yeah.
so easy to download a game. And, you know, I would say I'm probably the same. I don't buy as many physical games as I used to.
Yeah.
But, you know, mostly because a lot of games that I buy are sort of more indie, and they don't really have physical copies anyway.
I was going to say, a lot of stuff doesn't even do physicals already if you actually get away from like AAA gaming.
Yeah.
So if you go down the indie route or you go down the PC Steam route, like you can have thousands of games and no physicals.
Yeah. I see it kind of going more specialized, sort of the way comic books did, actually.
How do you mean?
Like when I was a kid, I remember being able to buy current comics in Walmart and other places. You would see like a rack of comic books, you know.
How many years ago would you be speaking here?
Like in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
90s, early 2000s. You know, you used to be able to just, used to just be able to grab a comic book off a shelf in Walmart and buy it to read. But, you know, now I think comics they've obviously gone a lot more specialized. So now you have dedicated stores to comic books. You always had that before, but I think the kind of ubiquitousness of seeing them everywhere as well as in their specialized stores is kind of, that has disappeared now, and comics are specifically sold at comic book stores now. So maybe games will trend that way too, where they will, like, physical copies will be kind of a feature of specialized stores like GameStop or local.
And we will stop seeing them at your Best Buy, Future Shop, whatever, Walmart, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because there just isn't enough. That's interesting, actually. So with that, then, you think physicals will always be made, essentially?
I think to some degree, probably. Yeah. Especially with companies like Limited Run, which are already, you know, making a point of creating physical copies of games that didn't previously have them, or of retro games that have gone so expensive that, you know, they're reissuing them to make them more affordable. You know, I think we'll see that for a very long time, even if consoles do kind of trend the way of purely digital.
Seeing LRG, like, get their limited serialized release out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with physical, it's like, we could go to a pre-order only world too.
Yeah.
Like made to produce, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Made to order everything, right, where it's just like, oh, like, get your pre-order in, and that's the amount of copies we're printing. You either pre-order it or you buy a digital.
Right.
Period. End.
Right.
Because as it stands right now, there's zero reason to pre-order a video game.
Yeah.
Like, zero.
Yeah.
You just give your money to the company, and like, there can be as many delays as they want. They can produce a broken product.
Yeah.
Like, pre-order gives you nothing right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the same time you say that, and then I remember not being able to get a PS5 on launch, which was not that long ago, but we had a very different economic environment then.
Yes.
So...
one time. There was one.
You know, it's
maybe,
like,
if you want a new console, still
when are they
that.
Ever going to run out of consoles? You know, that's what I said to myself. I didn't pre-order one because I was like, when have they ever run out of consoles?
Yeah, I remember the Switch had limited availability to rate at launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah. I'm just being the contrarian.
Yeah, if you're doing most games, you're going to get a copy at launch. Even if. I think Metroid Prime Remaster was the latest one where people were like, had a little bit of difficulty getting it at, just finding it at retail.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to print more copies. It was never an issue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first wave came out and it was like, oh my God, like, my store only got 4 copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a little bit of panic, FOMO.
I think that's kind of a strategic move from Nintendo as well, to kind of create artificial hype around these things, you know, where you think it's like limited.
Kings of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that kind of marketing strategy is, I think, is quite lucrative for them. So I can't see them stopping that kind of thing.
Remember when they just used to like do that with Amiibos endlessly?
Yeah.
Like they just never put Amiibos on the shelf.
Yeah. And now all you see is imports.
Yeah, it's just like, oh man, Nintendo's grimy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Well, you know, people love collecting their stuff and they know it.
Yes, and Nintendo will take advantage of you.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, maybe the future too is like, you know, what will happen to collector's editions? We'll just see like game stores with statues in them and download codes inside. Is that the future?
Only collector's editions, yes.
Yeah.
All this junk you just like do not need.
Yeah.
I would actually like to see... Even if, like, let's say they stop doing physical releases for most games.
Yeah.
I would actually like to see collector's editions go back to a world where they had a little bit of limited supply to them, where they had a little bit of prestige, where people are excited about collector's editions. I mean, maybe this is just me talking, but, like, I haven't cared about collector's editions in 10, 15 years. I think they really had their, like, boon or their big... phase of them in the Xbox 360 era.
Yeah.
You know, PS2 had some at the late there, some cool collector's editions, but like the 360 era of stuff, They had cool collector's editions. And yeah. I remember I was excited about them. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, really unique stuff was coming with them. Not just like every single one having a statue.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that yet. I would love to see collector's editions or, you know, like the limited physical. I'd be okay with that. Serialized limited physical. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Like, make a grimy economy of physicals. But like, if as long as they exist, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, collector's editions are just so enormous.
Yes.
You just don't have space for anything. It's like, you know, how can I buy like the God of War collector's edition and have this, how many inch, you know, 20 by 20 box sitting yes. around? It's like, I don't have room for that.
And I'm supposed to keep the box too. Like, I yeah. can't get rid of the box.
I can't throw out the box.
I have the statue on display and the box. Yeah. And it's like,
I'm a collector, damn it. I can't throw away a box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I would be okay if we went into almost if standard releases became serialized, that'd be kind of weird. Like, imagine Mario Wonder's a 1 out of 10,000.
Yeah.
Like, every single copy, that's it. 10,000 copies.
Yeah.
Be a big... part of me would love it, part of me would hate it.
Yeah.
For the casual gaming side, I would hate it, but it's also like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah,
if
totally.
If we do go into a really limited physical side, but I would love to see the physical survive in some capacity.
Yeah.
Even if it is a more predatory kind of capacity. If yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think, too, what's sort of pushing things the way of physical in the disc-based world, like PlayStation and Microsoft, is really, there's not really any benefit to owning the physical media other than trade-in value afterwards.
Yep.
The thing is, you still have to download the game or install it on your console. It takes just as long as buying it on the digital store. So it's like, you know, if you're buying for convenience, that's not really the case anymore. It's not like Switch where you can literally just plug the card in and play it. Maybe there's a small update.
Yep.
But with the Switch flash card, you can just throw it in your console and go. But with the disc-based systems, you still have to go through the rigor of installing 100%. It and yeah,
there's modern gaming in a nutshell.
Yeah,
that's every meme, right? It sucks.
Yeah,
and I think it's why I honestly don't value them as much.
Yeah,
like outside of being a token of my appreciation for the item, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, I could play the game without the disc, whatever. But if I really like the game, I'll get the physical embodiment just yeah. as like a token.
Yeah,
like,
me oh, too.
Cool. I like that game, so I'll buy it.
Yeah,
but that might be like well after I've already played it, enjoyed it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might buy the physical later. I do that a lot more now because, you know, with how a lot of games flop or aren't what they are marketed to be,
mm-hmm.
I think about Death Stranding, the collector's edition of that game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It came with, I think, the that baby thing that
yes.
he carries around. And it's like, oh, like super hype game. Everyone was excited. Kind of universally, like, not liked. I don't want to say hated, but, like, you know, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of copium. Some people will tell you, oh, it was fun. Yeah, you just got to play it more. It's like, man, I did 30 hours. Game kind of sucks.
It's just so weird. It's just hard to get past the weirdness of it all.
It's kind of boring. Dare I say.
You know
what?
I downloaded it, and I played, I want to say maybe 15 to 20 hours of it.
Yeah.
And I just stopped and never picked it up yeah. again. I'm like, I don't know.
That's exactly what I did. I just like, I wasn't in.
Yeah.
The thought of doing another 30 hours of that was just like, oh, I'm not. Like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
I got my Death Stranding experience.
Yeah.
But the point is, you get that collector's edition or whatever, and mm-hmm. it's like, great. Do you even like it?
No,
like,
what do you
even like the game? Do you like the collector's edition? So a lot of the stuff, even if you risk retail going up, I would rather buy stuff later at this point.
Just, yeah.
If it's something I actually care about.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. You want to make sure, you know, if you're buying
If you're spending the 200 US to get your statue, like, let's at least have a game that is decent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got
Cyberpunk, I guess, is the other big example, modern one, where at launch the game just, no one. Well, it was riddled with issues.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a bad game.
No.
It was just riddled with issues.
Yeah, and I was actually someone who got a refund on it.
Really?
Yeah, because I played the game, I bought it on launch and played it, and there was a game-breaking bug right before the end, and I couldn't finish the game.
That's insane.
And I was like, this is not acceptable. And so I got my refund, and that's the last time I ever looked at that game. But I've heard it's great now.
Oh, that's all I've heard,
yeah.
is that now it is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, 3 years later?
Yeah.
It has everything it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, cool.
Well, it kind of sounds like No Man's Sky, you know? The game
yes.
was kind of plagued on release, and they just kept like working at it and refining it now, it's great.
Yeah, it's such a shame because the odds of me going back now are almost zero.
I know.
Like, with how gaming moves, with also having retro gaming, it's just like, oh, I will probably never go back to Cyberpunk 2077. Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Whatever that year is. Yeah.
Whatever numbers they have, I'm not playing it.
Yeah, that's how little I remember it. Don't even remember the full title.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say stuff does go all digital. How do you feel about the game collecting scene?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of, like, you know, I prefaced at the very beginning that people who buy now who don't have digital or who only have digital won't want physical. And that's like a big, strong argument that you see a lot. I don't know if I really agree with it. Just that if you didn't grow up with physical, you won't still want to collect or appreciate physical game collecting. Because I think innately in people, there is a collecting bug. Or, you know, a want to buy physical items, to have to have junk. Some people just like having junk all over their house. It just is what it is. People won't often do that. Like, you can't really transition someone. Like, you either like collecting or you don't. You either get it or you don't. It's kind of like knocking your head against the wall if you're trying to convince someone who doesn't like it that, oh man, you should really cover your house in games. Like, it's fantastic. Like, it's you're not going to win that argument with someone who doesn't like collecting.
Yeah.
But I think for those people who grow up, even in a digital age, there will always be the appreciation of physical items, physical whatever. And I mean, maybe there'll be digital representations of games, I guess, in the future. That'd be crazy. Kind of like almost NFT type stuff. You get your digital representation of the physical.
Scary.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people have strong opinions on that, but like, you look at Counter-Strike skins and stuff, Fortnite skins, like there's economies built around digital items now. But with all that said, I still think people will want to collect older games and have collections of games if they are into gaming in general.
Yeah.
I don't think the hobby, like, yeah, I think the hobby of video game collecting is actually only going to grow in the future, regardless of what happens to the actual media, because people are going to cycle backwards.
Yeah.
We see it in comics. We see it in sports.
Absolutely.
You get into it with, you know, just liking sports, essentially. You learn about modern sports cards. You cycle your way backwards. You read modern comics or whatever. You cycle backwards. Because you just learn more about the hobby, you go in deeper niches. So long as the gateway of gaming exists, I think it is, people will continue to go backwards for the hobby.
Right.
Unless that's huge copium.
Well, you know, it's like Nintendo is such a strong presence throughout the world. And I feel like as long as they are still a thing, there will still be appreciation for the OG version of it. You know, like myself, I didn't really read comics that much when I was a kid. I was more a gamer. But
yeah, me too.
You know, the X-Men cartoon was on when I was a kid, and the Spider-Man series in the mid-90s, and those really got me into the comic side of things. And I started collecting Silver Age Spider-Mans, you know, from the 60s, despite not having grown up with them at all. Just the art was great.
Yeah,
that was enough to like want, you know, make me want to save up money to go buy, you know, a 60s Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it. I remember looking at them as a kid. Like when I got enough of them, I kind of put up a shelf on my wall and displayed all these comics next to my couch. And I just remembered sometimes, you know, this is like 12-year-old me, like looking up at my comic collection being like, this is so cool. Like, these things should not exist.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But here they are, and I love Spider-Man, so, you know, that was enough for me to spend money and acquire these things, even as a kid.
Yeah, and that innate coolness factor, just the like, that's what I mean, right? Even if you don't, because you can appreciate video games, like, you don't really need to own games anymore.
Yeah.
With emulation, all that stuff. Like, you can play almost any game you want at any time you want without owning a physical.
Mm-hmm.
Legality aside, you can do it.
We do not endorse that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you heard nothing. So when you get into collecting, like, it is purely doing it for the physical token of the item.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, like gaming, whatever. But so even if people are just doing an all digital gaming thing, the appreciation of having the physical, the appreciation of the art, the appreciation of everything that like went into creating it, I just don't see that fading away. Especially, yeah. like you said, as Nintendo maintains itself, and Sony and Xbox, whatever franchises or games are still going in the future. If those maintain themselves, Mario's Zelda live action was just announced.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't going anywhere in the public sphere. Collectors are going to gravitate towards this stuff. I don't think there's any kind of worry that collecting is going to fade out in the next 10 years just because physical media does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if prices, like, they would talk about a market crash. If prices were to crash in the next 10 years, I'd be shocked. Like, shocked.
Right.
Because, you know, it's digital now. No one wants games anymore. Like, I would be baffled.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen probably in our lifetimes. I mean, obviously, we will see times of renewed interest and lesser interest. Yeah. That's just how, you know, market cycles work.
And you're going to see, like, certain games and stuff will drop off.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to happen. That's natural collecting ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the grail of today might not be a grail in 15 years.
Yeah.
A rule of rose might not be a grail in 15 years. Could happen.
Right.
Like, that type of stuff is fully, you know, collector markets are going to reprice themselves and as new people enter, new rules get made, interest change, all that can happen. But in general, I think we're always going to see healthy demand for physical.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's value to, you know, having these things preserved, you know, even a nice CIB copy or whatever. But I mean, I would gravitate more towards the sealed end of it because it's not utilitarian anymore. It's just kind of, it's a shelf item. It's a piece of history.
Yeah. You're getting your token.
Like, yeah, you know, exactly.
I want the trophy on my thing of the games I love the most.
Yeah. Collectors love having a space that they can kind of display things they love, and you know, games, sealed games in particular, are kind of like the perfect representation of what they saw as a kid. And even if you have younger people growing up without having experienced that, there's still value in these things in their original condition.
So long as someone can look at an item and immediately like get it,
mm-hmm.
which I think you can look at original Zelda on NES or, you know, Mike Tyson's Punch Out and stuff. Like, I think those resonate. You can get it.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't. Like how you talked about comic books from the 60s. Mm-hmm. I can look at old Spider-Man comics and it's like, oh man, I get it. Like,
yeah.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
You know? So long as that is within the public consciousness, which there's a Nintendo Cinematic Universe is going to keep everything relevant again for the next 20 years.
But right.
I think that notion is going to stay.
Yeah. And I mean, especially when you think of how expensive games were back in the day. You know, relative to to the value of money back then, it's like, who bought these things and didn't open them? Like, who spent, you know, $80 to $100 on a game, which was an astronomical amount.
Yeah, I know. Then. People complain about how much games cost now. Like, Super Nintendo was ridiculous.
I remember seeing Super Nintendo, even some N64 games were $100 at Walmart.
Yeah, that's insane.
I remember seeing that. like, I'm like, why is that one so expensive and the others?
Yeah, and they were priced differently.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As, like, what?
It made no sense.
What do you mean that one's like 89 and that one's 49? Like,
yeah, there's no such thing as indie games back then. I mean, there kind of were, but not really.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, so
not
it's like, really. why is that one like, you know, 79? That
especially one... as you understand it, like you go to a store, there's no such thing as like every game is equal. These are all great games. Like,
yeah.
They're all fantastic.
Yeah. Doesn't matter which one you buy. They're all good.
Yeah. Like maybe PS1, you could start arguing that there was like junk titles, indie stuff, because I think it's like an 1800 game library for North America.
Right.
Like they just like printed stuff.
It's pretty, yeah, pretty big.
N64 cartridges, 300 games. They're all bangers.
Yeah. Says you.
Yeah, just kidding. Most N64 games suck. This is how it is, but.
Yeah. So what games or shows did you watch this week, Dylan? Or Greg. Should I call you Greg? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, who's Dylan? Like,
who's Dylan?
Yeah,
who's,
never heard of him, man. Yeah, I'm still plugging away at Baldur's Gate. That is taking me my life. My life is Baldur's Gate right now.
I get
it. So we try to get on there, like myself and my brothers, we try to get on once, twice a week, put in a four-hour session. It kind of feels like it's weird. Sometimes you play Baldur's Gate and it feels like you're really progressing.
Yeah.
Other nights we play and it's like, man, we did nothing.
Yeah.
You do four or five encounters and it's like, well, that's bed.
That encounter took 3 hours. So.
Yeah. Fail a few dice rolls, save scum a bit, and like your night's over.
Yeah.
You did not advance any story. Like you might have done one side quest. So hopefully... moving through act 2. I think we're almost done act 2.
Okay. So do you just play with your brothers or play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's when all three of us can get together, which I mean, makes it a bit harder as well to just sit down and grind all the time.
Yeah.
I can't do a 12-hour game session alone.
Yeah.
So
well, it's a lengthy game.
Yeah. When we can all sit down to do it, that's the that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then there's also the new Mario Golf, not new, but you know what I mean. The newest iteration of Mario Golf. Mario Golf, Swing Stars, Super Mario Golf on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Great. Not as much polish as Toadstool Tour has.
Okay.
Like there's just a little bit of UI stuff and like it just doesn't, it could have more Nintendo charm if I'm giving it a critique.
Gotcha.
Like it's a great golf game. You'll have fun with it if you ever play it, but it just could be a little bit more soul in it, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
And then the last thing I'm excited to play, and I haven't yet, is the Mario Kart 8 New Deluxe, DLC, sorry, just dropped.
Oh,
like
okay.
The final DLC
yeah.
for the game.
Yeah.
We're finally going to say goodbye to like
that
Mario
game
Kart 8
has
Deluxe.
Had so many leg, like so much leg
I think
to
it's
it.
Been going for 8 years.
Oh, that's
when
crazy.
The initial Wii U release.
Yeah.
Should be like 2016.
Yeah.
Got to be almost 10 years of Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, they milked the crap out of that
yeah.
thing.
I don't hate it.
No,
at all.
I mean, it's pretty
this
perfect.
This is going to be the model now.
Yeah.
Like, we are getting one Mario Kart game next generation. We're going to get one Smash game next generation. Like, those main ones are just going to be one game with DLC packs.
Yeah.
They've proven it works. And I'm not even, like I said, I'm not mad about it. Like, I don't need three different versions of Smash.
That's right.
Build the engine. It's good.
Yeah.
Like, Mario Kart 8 is still freaking great.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you changed for the next one, to
yeah.
be completely honest. But
yeah, I'm kind of the same. It's like, how can we innovate?
Yeah, where do we push?
Yeah. Yeah, what area do you change? Like, even Smash Bros. I mean, you know, balance complaints aside or whatever.
Yeah. Meta stuff aside, what do you actually change about the base engine?
Yeah.
Like, the gameplay.
Like, it's pretty perfect as a whole complete game.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Add more characters? Like, this?
Yeah. Right. How do you, like, if they do, they will, I mean, do
yeah.
another Smash game. It has to be a kind of an entire engine rework, in my
yeah.
opinion. I don't know how it changes, but, like,
yeah.
you have to do an innovation.
Yeah. There has to be some kind of new gameplay mechanic.
Yeah. Like,
that's
something.
Not tripping.
Yeah.
Because I remember when Brawl came out and I was like, what is this?
How fun and quirky. Like, you made the game worse in
like
every
you
way.
You just randomly trip. You
yeah.
know?
There'll be something. There'll be something. Same with Mario Kart. They'll do something, but that will be the model now. And I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like it. That's fine.
Yeah.
You'll probably spend $150, $200 on Mario Kart now in the next generation, but yeah, I don't know. Change
yeah.
and adapt.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. We'll still buy it.
Yeah. I'm going to get the DLC packs like we have them all. Make no mistake.
I will buy anything they put out.
Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna nod, but I'm excited to play that. That's my next thing on my my hit list here.
Yeah.
Mario Kart 8, the new DLC.
Cool.
What about you? What are you doing?
I played through Spider-Man 2 on PS5.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need to get to it still.
Yeah.
How is it?
Very impressive.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the scale of it is crazy, how they could get so much of New York into it and have, like, no draw distance issues at all.
That's the most amazing thing to me now, is, like,
yeah,
yeah that you can just have that all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the most part, it's just kind of more of the same. Like,
okay.
if you enjoyed the first Spider-Man game, this one is just like it in every way, except there's two characters to rotate between and
is
more
like
of New York.
More polished and everything? Or is it like literally almost running the same engine?
It's pretty close.
Okay.
There are some, like, I've watched a few YouTube comparison videos, like, of the graphics, and there's like, oh, they kind of like cost cut here but added here, and you know,
oh,
I mean,
God.
I understand
the water reflections are
yeah.
just a little bit more reflectier.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. More reflectier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were apparently some complaints of the length of the campaign or something.
Yeah,
like
I saw
that.
A lot of that it's like, what, 7-8 hours, I think.
Yeah, so what I liked about it was the pacing of the campaign. They always kind of gave you moments where you could, you know, this was like an obvious place where you could go off and do something else.
Okay.
And so often I took those moments to kind of, you know, take a breather and just do a few side quests.
Are you
here
a big
and there.
Side quest guy?
Not really.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it just kind of, it was paced at it's such a great way that it kind of made you want to just kind of chill a bit and not go on immediately to the next story mission.
Yeah.
So it was nice, you know.
I think that's the best thing, if a game can not just make you want. It's such a, like, it's good when the game also makes you want to go to the next story point, because it means you're like engaged,
mm-hmm.
it's compelling.
Yeah,
but it's also good if it has like other content,
yeah.
side content, if you will, that
yeah.
you actually want to do as well.
Yeah,
like the Witcher series was really good for having side content, or the Skyrim, I guess, is one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Side content that's really, really deep.
Yes, and especially...
I don't expect that from a Spider-Man game, but...
Yeah, yeah, I know, with, like, The Witcher 3, man, I lived for that Gwent quest line as a collector. I was like, this is so cool, like, going around, you know, gathering those rare cards from all, you know, beating all these people in games.
I mean, if a game has a card game in it, like, I'm in. Like, that's all, you know, if there's a card game in a game, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. That was really nice thing about The Witcher 3 specifically was the Gwent game. And I did not like the standalone Gwent game.
Okay.
They changed it in a few different ways and kind of tried to make it more complex, but then it sort of lost. It sort of has like a backgammon charm to it, where it's like simple strategy.
Have I ever played backgammon?
Okay, well, let me educate you.
That's a great question there. I don't think I have.
So backgammon is very... It's a mix of skill and luck. You're, you know, kind of a slave to your dice rolls, but it's about kind of maximizing what you're given.
Okay.
So I feel like Gwent was sort of the same type of thing where you work with what you got.
Are you saying too much RNG came to it, or just
RNG?
Like not enough control of what you can do?
No, I think the original Gwent game in The Witcher 3 was fun because it was simple.
Okay.
And kind of unpredictable in a way.
Yeah.
But the standalone game kind of became too complex for its own good.
Did they like deepen the meta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, I was like, it kind of lost its charm.
It makes sense if you're going to make the standalone, though, that it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deeper.
Yeah.
Then
I totally agree. It does need to do that. So I guess you know, part of me is like,
why? You found out you're a filthy casual.
This doesn't even need to exist. That's the argument. And it doesn't anymore. It's done.
That's fair. That's fair. But, so the Spider-Man side quests, you were saying, were that level of engaging, right? Like, it was amazing. Deep content.
Yeah. I mean, actually, no. It's kind of the opposite. The side quests were not great. But because of the pacing of the story, it kind of made it more sensible to go do some.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay. They were not nearly like as great as The Witcher 3.
Yeah. I didn't expect them to be at all.
Yeah.
I kind of know what I'm getting for side quests when I play a game like that.
Yeah, for sure. You're kind of in it just for the traversal. You know? It's like the web swinging and all that is just so much fun. You just can't help but swing everywhere.
We'll go fetch some stuff. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Why not?
Anything to swing across these buildings
47
again.
47 landmarks? Let's go find them.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure that's in the game. I haven't played it yet, but.
I don't even know.
That's the classic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think like one, I remember playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey when it came out. And that game had like so much to do, side quests.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the leveling system, you were often thrust into situations where you were not appropriately leveled for them, and it was simply impossible for you to complete them.
So even if you see content sitting there, you like can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And it like paces you into it. So it's like, why did you guide me here when I'm like, you know, 15 levels under where I should be?
Yeah, that's much worse.
Yeah, I quickly lost interest in Assassin's Creed Odyssey because
like you just dropped the game entirely.
Yeah. Damn. I did, yeah. Yeah, beautiful world. Very empty.
Yeah. AC is Assassin's Creed, a series I never got into at all.
Yeah.
I played number one for 4 hours. Mm. And I was like, yeah, well.
Did you play it when it first came out? Or
Nope. Okay. I actually touched it like probably, you know, 5 to 10 years after it came out.
Okay. And then I got the first one on launch.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the trailers and being like, whoa.
It was one of those games where I was like, I want to get this.
Yeah.
I want to play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And 1 year passes. Like, oh, man, I should get a 2 years pass, you know? Like,
yeah. You know what I was specifically missing was Prince of Persia, like the original three on GameCube.
Yep.
You've
played them all?
Yes, I love those games. And when I kind of saw, they were kind of promoting Assassin's Creed like a free roam Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, like that's my jam.
That's why I wanted to get it.
Yeah.
And never did.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at what else was out at the time. I don't know if that might have been when I was like grinding Gears or maybe Halo Reach was out then. Like I'd have to look at the year. But for whatever reason, I
didn't pick it up
Assassin's
then.
Creed. Yep. Yeah. Didn't get it. And like I said, once so many years pass, the odds of me going back are just damn near slim to none.
Yeah.
It almost became a yearly release, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like Assassin's Creed went with that model, I thought, for a while.
Where we were literally getting a new Valhalla. One. Yeah.
Yeah. Every single year.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played the games. In my head, I was thinking, oh my God, we do not need one of these every year.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need COD every year either. But like, it was just wild to see Assassin's Creed, which isn't it primarily a single player game?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, at least all those other ones, it's like, oh, it's multiplayer, so we tweak things and, you know, you get to grind it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Getting a campaign game every single year was just wild to me.
Yeah. Well, they've obviously, you know, changed that model up now. I don't think they're doing
It's almost like people got sick of it.
Yeah.
Like, how much Assassin's Creed did one person consume? Yeah. Like,
how many meaningless side quests can we do before we get sick of this? Yeah.
Like people who just stop buying sports games because it's like, oh man, like I've played Madden 8 years in a row. Like at some point, you just get fatigued.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to kind of keep releasing the same thing every year and expecting people to buy it.
The break for 2D Mario was a great thing, in my opinion.
I agree.
Great thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know like every game has its own quirks and whatever, but like 2D Mario is 2D Mario.
Yeah.
I can only play so many of them.
Yeah.
Wonder feels fresh, feels great.
Yeah.
It's been so long that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's next on my list.
Yeah. To get one, you don't have it yet? Have you don't played have it yet at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I have not.
It's great.
Yeah. I've heard everyone tells me it's great. So yeah.
It's fantastic.
I will have to play it for sure.
Definitely pick that up. Next time we speak, you can let me know how Wonder's going.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
Perfect.
All right.
Tune in next time.
how do we sign off this stupid podcast?
How does one sign off a podcast?
We haven't. Hard cuts.
Like, we need the viewer retention, so hard cut.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't let
we'll
it,
just bam. Yeah. Music
none of
outro.
The bullshit. Like, hard cut.
That's right.
You don't know it's ending.
Yeah. We end when we feel
you
like it.
You can't walk away and it cost us seconds.
No. It's just going to end whenever we decide it ends.
Yep.
Like, the middle right of that now.
Sentence, it's just going to end.